On tonight's Hillbilly Nerd Talk, read what you sign. Hank's ramblings, including a couple of million-dollar ideas, and the guy trip.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk with Hank and Petra.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk. I'm Hank.
And I'm Petra.
Renter drama, as usual.
Oh, I thought we would already have this podcast in the bag by now, and it just wasn't to be, was it?
No, you kidding? It's only 8:30. We're still working. We're over there.
We just sat down.
Yeah, we went over there getting drilled by a renter that is just convinced that we are the white devil, capitalist pigs that we are.
Yeah, we definitely are.
This will all tie in. This will be really good, actually.
It will. I was like, yeah, we're Napoleon.
Yeah. But anyhow, it's just weird. You know, for whatever advice of some person that might be listening to this podcast, listen to this piece of advice. Listen to what Uncle Hank is about to tell you here. This piece of advice will save you, no doubt will save you so much misery, so much money and heartache in your life. Just this one thing. Read what the hell you sign. That's it. I don't care if it's 50 pages long of gobbledygook and they're under pressure at the car salesman to, oh, just hurry up and sign this. Fucking don't.
No. And the more money you're paying for something, the closer you should look at it.
These renters that we just, I'll tell the situation pretty quickly. We have a renter who had signed a year lease, and 6 months into the lease, they call me today, just very whimsical, just nothing to it at all. Like, oh, you know, it's 6 months and we tried to make it, but our business just isn't doing so well. So we'll be leaving in October. Have a great day. I'm like, no, fucko, you're not leaving in October. You have 6 months left on your lease. Don't you understand how this shit works? Like, at $700 a month for six more months, you owe me $4,200. And then when I sue you for that $4,200, there will also be another $1,000 of legal fees that's going to be tacked on because you absolutely are going to lose. And that's part of the lease also is basically when I sue you and you lose, you will pay my attorney fees. So I'm like, do you not get that? Oh, and then of course, well, you told us we could leave in 6 months and now you're an evil blankety blank such and such and blah, blah, blah. You're greedy. You're morally corrupt.
Yeah, you got a lot of that from them. Yeah, I don't remember the exact quote, but it...
So I agreed out of the goodness of my heart, frankly, because I'm such a good guy, Petra, that my heart is so big. It's like a Care Bear heart that's just overflowing with greatness.
Crap.
That I allow them.
Stop right here. All right. For the record, Hank woke up this morning to texts from one renter because they couldn't get a hold of somebody to fix something.
They couldn't get a hold of my property manager.
And let's see, then you spent the morning at the lawyer's office with letters to evict two people.
Two other people.
We do not evict people. If you've been listening to this podcast, we've evicted one other person
ever.
And it was horrible. And we talked about it for hours and hours and hours on here because
we still talk about it.
Yeah. Mercedes girl.
Yeah.
She's gone.
Yes. Fuck Mercedes girl. This guy's going to be right here with him.
But now, well, then we had two this month. So it has just been a shit month. And it's the end of the shit month. And then somebody calls and it's just like, but you said, and it's one of those things, it was kind of like when we were, like we've had contractors before that have made us question our sanity and our spouse's sanity because Like, remember the guy across the street? He'd tell you one thing, and then he'd tell me something else. And then finally, something came up about ordering doors. And, like, one door was $800. Mm-hmm. And Hank was just like, there is no way Petra told you to order that. And I'm going, there's no way. You know, it was finally something so absurd that we looked at each other and go, he's a fucking liar.
Well, these people... The deal I've struck with them, like I said, because of my Care Bear heart overflowing with goodness, I agreed to let them tonight, because, and he threw this out here, by the way, this is his damn suggestion. He said, well, what can I do to get out of this? I'm like, well, I don't know, make me an offer. You owe me $4,200, so make me an offer. And he said, well, how about if I bring you $3,000 tonight, cash, will you let me out of this? I'm like,
yeah,
I guess. Basically, I thought about it and like, okay, yeah, I will do that.
It's a lot less hassle.
And so he came up with it. I didn't think he would, frankly. Didn't think he'd show up. But he showed up with $3,000. We signed a little paper. It basically said this $3,000 is an early termination fee. Get the hell out October 1st and take all your shit with you. And everybody go their own ways.
Yep. And
but while we're over there signing it.
Yeah, they gave you a hard time about counting the cash, and it's an envelope of cash.
They give me an envelope of $3,000, and I start putting it out. I start counting it on the counter, and this guy says, "Yeah, that's right. You better count it, Hank. You greedy," something like that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, greedy. You better count all that. I'm like, you son of a bitch. You just keep poking this bear, you fucking asshole.
And this is about the time that I walk in. It's while this is going on. And you just kind of handed me the receipt book to fill out the receipt.
Yeah, because at that point, honestly, I'm
glad
you came in. I was shaking.
You were shaking.
And I stopped counting because he said that and counted again. And yeah, I was so mad that I couldn't write a receipt. I could feel the rage. I could just feel it. I mean, something was going to happen if you hadn't come in that room.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, because people can't just keep doing that without some sort of consequences.
Yeah.
I'm going to fire back sooner or later.
Yeah.
I am.
You can't help it.
Who
can't help yourself?
Who? I don't know anybody on earth.
If
when
you
somebody,
work retail, you can hold it in for a long damn time.
I guess. That will never be my forte. But anyhow, so we've been over there getting needled by our renters who we've let out of a lease, but we're still the assholes.
And like, to get back to my crazy rambling story, this is one of those things for us to agree to some early out. That is so absurd that we're both like, I didn't do that. I mean, we're just kind of.
Right. They would have passed a lie detector test.
Questioning. Yeah. Well, they're so convinced, and we're going, We would never remember at first. It would be weird enough to remember. And second, we would just never agree to that.
Well, and here's the thing with this reading what you sign. That's the whole point of a written agreement, is it's in writing. That way, if person A and person B doesn't remember what they said word for word, which you don't.
Nobody remembers that. You never do.
You have a written document that you both can refer to and determine who's right. That's the whole point. It's actually brilliant.
Yeah.
Before legal people could write, I don't see how the hell anybody agreed to anything. Because obviously.
That's why they killed each other.
It is. Like, you told me 3 goats. You told me it'd be 5 goats for my daughter. Fuck you. I'm going to kill your ass right now.
Hank.
That's the hell what it was before you could write things down. It's amazing we even made it to the point you could write.
It was pretty bad. It was pretty damn bad.
Yeah.
God,
so
these guys.
Yeah, and these guys have a little hippie art studio music kind of situation, which we knew the hell it wouldn't make it. There's how are you gonna make any money at that in the middle of Hazard, Kentucky, for God's sakes?
They tried.
And then they were giving us a guilt trip of, well, we renovated this spot, so you just made out like a bandit, didn't you? That's just so morally wrong. You shouldn't that we've built this and we put all this stuff in, and now we just walk away with nothing. And I had, for once, at the right time, the right comeback. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Why did you agree to that? And that actually shut this asshole up for a minute. He really didn't have a comeback.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, wow. Then why do you agree to it?
Because we gave them dirt cheap rent. It's a fantastic spot, and we're renting it to them for, what, $400, and anybody else has rented it?
They
did go in and renovate it. And by that, they took the walls down to the brick.
They spent maybe $5,000 and worked on it themselves and made a little hippie nest out of it.
Yeah, and we thought that was what it was going to be, was just a communal hippie nest. And I don't know, it looked like it was doing okay.
Who knows? Who knows of these crazy asses? I've got some random stuff from recently. My little notebook of pain and despair.
Are we leaving this subject now? I thought we were going to beat this one a little bit more.
Oh, we'll beat it. Come on. Punch it out. But this punching bag still standing? Come on.
This was, from my perspective, I kind of walked in on the end of this. And
I was good till you got there. You'd be proud. I just sat there and took it like a punching bag.
It was tough. It was tough. The air in there just hurt. It just hurt to walk in there.
Oh, they hate me with a seething hate. And here's what we were saying about, it's weird how you can convince yourself of something. Like, we were in there, they would pass a lie detector test saying that you said we could get out in 6 months. You're a liar. You tricked us into signing this. When there's just no way. I'm so diligent because this situation, I know this situation can come up. And I'll never, ever verbally tell somebody something without it going straight to writing. And even if I did forget, even if people are human, people forget, that's why you write it down. We make our renters initial each page and sign the last page. So they can't say, oh, that page, you stuck that in on me. Or that page is different.
Yeah.
We make them initial the corner of every damn page. And we
make a copy of it, and they get to keep a copy, and we keep a copy.
And then you did this, and I've heard other people do it as well. We even verbally go over it with them, point by point, every section of this lease.
You
read it,
but you go, okay, this says that your rent is $1,000 a month.
Right.
This says it's due on the 10th, on the first of each month. Right. After the 10th, you have a $50 late fee.
Right. But these people, in their mind, like you said earlier, it's just amazing how people can trick themselves into hearing what they want to hear.
They really did in that case. And this guy made me feel really uncomfortable. And I'm very liberal. I sometimes call myself a raging liberal.
Mm-hmm.
And Hank's like, no. But no, this guy wanted to give you such a guilt trip because...
Over basically capitalism.
Yeah.
He basically was anti-capitalist.
Yeah.
But,
and I mean, and it was so wrong, but like he could have negotiated for a better deal. Like with you, even still today, he could have. Because, they did put a whole lot of work in there. And I do see his point. They put a lot of sweat equity into that. They did a lot of the work themselves, and their buddies helped them out.
Well, and like you said,
you
said, the trade-off of that, though, was dirt cheap rent. And that's one of the things we do. We trade cheap rent for people to renovate.
Yes.
That's a good trade-off.
Yes.
They agree to that. We
and
put it in writing.
And stays low because, they built to suit themselves. We don't have to recoup, $20,000 that we put into this place. We don't have to keep their rent high. We can leave it lower and let them rent a box and decorate their box however they want.
Well, and I told the dude, at the end there, we got a bit of an argument. And I'm like, look, you can blame me if you want to, but this isn't my fault. I'm like, basically, you guys agreed to something. And now that you can't pay for it, now you don't like what you agreed to. That's basically what it comes down to. That's what every renter, every situation, that's it.
But from their point of view, they put a lot of work into it. There was nobody in it before.
Right.
So the way they see it, you're not out anything. They feel like they should be able to walk away broke even.
Well, and that is exactly the advantage of being a savvy landowner, that you can do stuff like that. When you own the property and you work out that agreement, and like I just told him, like, well, if you didn't like that agreement, then why'd you agree to it? If everything you're telling me is right, so why'd you agree to that? And then that shut him up.
Yeah.
Just like it would shut anybody up. Like, you agreed to that. It doesn't matter if you agreed to pay me $10,000 a month, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, I can't pay that. Well, then why'd you agree to it?
Well,
I mean, there's some point of...
When you're a small landowner like we are, the people who are renting the type of property that we own, that they're small business people. It's not chains. It's not...
Some of them are. But in general, it's, I don't know, maybe they just expect, because there's a face to our company, which is me or you,
yeah,
that all of a sudden the rules of economics don't apply to them.
They wouldn't be screaming at Fifth Third Bank.
Right, or AEP, or the phone company, or the cable company.
Hey, Time Warner. You are right about that. We are the face of the company. We're the personal person that they get to abuse.
Right. Instead of calling some customer service line, getting some poor Filipino girl that can't speak English. Yeah, they get to punch us and get mad at us.
Yeah.
But they should not expect, nobody should expect anybody to do any different just because they're a small business owner like we are.
Yeah.
Like I said, miss a few payments on your car and see what the fuck happens.
And I think... In general, we've tried to work with people.
We do.
You know, if they make arrangements, as long as they fulfill what they said that they would do.
Yes. And there's circumstances where we would let somebody, if they come to us, we've done this many times. Look, I'm a little short. Can you give me 1 week? You know, I'll get caught up. You can give me a week. We do that. They get caught up. It's no hard feelings. Everybody's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if they don't.
I mean, we know our tenants generally. You know, we get to know them pretty well. And, I mean, I've got a couple that have texted me, hey, Petra, I'm putting the check in. Would you mind waiting until Saturday to deposit it?
Right.
I never mind that. I've got the check in my hand. You know, you told me when it would be good. I'll wait. So
we try to
work with people. We've cut people a break when they've had sick kids. I mean, we really do try to support small businesses, but my God, we just busted into savings to pay our mortgage. So we can't just let people squat for free.
No.
We're paying taxes on those buildings. We're paying for the renovations. We're paying out the butt.
So that's where we just came from. That's why we're all hyped up. So
yeah,
and we've had a whole day of it.
We're like inarticulate crazy tonight. So
it's nuts.
Yeah.
I've got a bunch of random stuff I've been saving forever. So I'm just going to throw a bunch of stuff out and see if it sticks or not. I married Morticia Adams. I just want everybody to know that. That's what Petra is like.
I kind of am.
Tell them what you're growing over there.
Well, I'm really digging into my carnivorous plants. I've got pitcher plants and Venus flytraps. My pitcher plant bloomed. It's beautiful in a weird, exotic, carnivorous plant sort of way. So, I think it's beautiful.
So your one little container of carnivorous plants aren't big enough.
Yeah, I've got like I think it's a 2 gallon glass apothecary jar, and they just filled it up. I mean, they're huge. And I went and got my 29 gallon tank that I used to have goldfish in. Actually, I used to have piranha in after the cat killed the goldfish.
Piranha.
Yeah. So now it's going from piranha to carnivorous plants.
And you've had snakes.
I've had snakes.
Yeah.
I love snakes.
You are Morticia Adams.
God, I am. I love Morticia Adams. That's not an insult.
You know, she was kind of sexy.
Hell yeah. She was awesome. Yeah. She was a great role model.
Yeah, I like Morticia.
Yeah.
She was good.
Yeah.
Let's see. I was in a dilemma. I've told you about this before. Like,
uh-oh.
I'm sure this is anywhere, but specifically, since we're here in Eastern Kentucky, I'll just say it's probably worse here. But when you need somebody to do some really crappy work, like filling in potholes with asphalt, shoveling, digging a ditch, something like that, and you got to hire somebody who's basically this racist jerk asshole to help you do this.
And that's your only option.
Right. Do you in some way financially support this guy that's just totally homophobic, hates gay people? He thinks that the reason these hurricanes are caused, quote, they're caused by them bunch of faggots is what's causing these hurricanes, end quote.
Oh, my God.
Like, stuff like that. I mean, it's unbelievable. But yet you got it. But yet, do you want to get your parking lot filled in, or do you want to, you know, not hire Mr. Racist Redneck guy who, you know, it's tough.
That's
right?
Why I kind of want to support our liberal renters because I feel dirty sometimes that we have to support people like that.
I know, it's a dilemma, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a dilemma, and I don't know what to do with it. Sometimes you just got to bite the bullet and let...
Yeah, and just and deal with it. I have...
Don't you think that's how they kind of end up being such losers? Like this guy...
Yeah.
Like, because I'm shoveling with them. I mean, I'm trying to, you know, work
get
on my own parking lot,
get
the job done faster, so I'm there with them. And you're talking 2 or 3 hours. You're sitting there shoveling, talking to somebody. You're trying to make small talk. And, you know, and you just get the idea that, like, you know, this is why you are such a fucking loser, is because you think like this. Like, you don't even realize that because you think like this, you're never going to get ahead. Nobody's ever going to really hire you for a real job.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
People get punished for their asshole behavior in one way or another.
And those are the people that...
You can call it karma, or you can call it whatever, and... Yeah, and we've talked about this a million times. That's where he absolutely has his freedom of speech and his right to believe these dumbass things. But then other people also have the right not to hire you because
based
you think
on,
that.
Yes.
So there's that. I don't know.
I think it's probably worse in our area because I think that's the predominant view. Although not everybody will say it.
Yeah, well, again, in our area, for sure.
In our area, yeah.
I don't know other places.
I mean,
we're
dragging them kicking and screaming into the 21st century, but...
I don't know. What is the deal, though, that it seems like... This is just a very general observation. Why is it that it seems like the more manual labor type job you do, the more... You're like that as far as super hate on gay people, religious to the point that you think super conservative. You know, because we've turned away from God, that's what's causing all these hurricanes. Like why is manual labor that? Wonder why it attracts that kind of people. Just wondering. Just pondering.
I think, and this is going to sound horrible.
I love it when Petra gets the guilt when she says something that she knows is true, but she doesn't want it to be true.
These idiots around here.
Preach it, Petra.
Are so damn low on the totem pole of life.
Yep.
That they want desperately to look down on somebody else. Even if they have to manufacture some kind of shit reason. Greatest fucking accomplishment is that they have light colored skin.
Right.
That's,
or
that's their big deal in life.
Or according to them, they're not gay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that is some profound shit right there. I believe you've hit the nail on the head.
And I am not saying that I think someone who is homosexual, transgendered, dark skinned, whatever, is low on the totem pole. I'm saying
that these people think they are, though.
Yeah. These people are latching on to something different in other people. So they can look down on them.
I think you're exactly right.
That's the kind of the root of prejudice there.
I think that is perfect. That is very profound.
Thank you.
No, I think that explains a lot. Well, I made the choice to hire
dumbass
and get my parking lot filled in. But
do you ever tell him that I don't agree with that man?
You know, sometimes, and that's where it becomes, that was my dilemma.
Like, awkward.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, I mean, if he would just straight up ask me, I would say, no, I don't agree with that. But if he's just spouting off random shit, then I just basically just let him go. And I just don't chime in or just don't say anything until we get on to another topic or try to change the topic. I don't know. It's the best strategy I have. If you get in some kind of argument, then you just don't get your parking lot filled in and he just goes be a racist redneck somewhere else.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
But it's without your money sometimes. Well, I don't know.
Well, I will say this. This dude's like 56 years old. He's overweight, smokes, just a damn mess, really. And he's out there shoveling asphalt with me. So I will say this. I worked his fucking ass absolutely to the point where he was about doubled over, ready to die. I'll tell you that.
Good for you. Good for you.
Every time he'd slow down, I'd be like, you know, come on, Ray, pick it up, son. This stuff's getting cold. I'm not paying you to fuck around here. Exactly. I'm trying, Ray. Like, oh, all right, man. Come on, let's hit it.
Yeah, I kind of like to torture those type people, too.
Yeah, so if he had died right there on the spot, it'd have been like, yeah, oh, well, he fucking deserved it. I don't know how bad I would have felt. This is a remembering thing. Again, this is just random pondering
random
here.
Random stuff that you've been, hanging on to.
Saving up. When we were kids, this is how much things have come in a long way. Do you remember when going to movies or even watching a movie, and because you had to go to the movies, this is how old we are. We're before VCRs.
Yeah.
Remember going to movies, actually, and that was the only way to watch a damn movie?
Yeah, yeah.
Unless it played on network TV 5 years later.
Yeah.
With 50 commercials.
Or you had HBO. My grandparents had HBO.
Yeah.
They were the only people in the whole family that had HBO.
You remember how big a deal it was not to miss the opening minutes of a movie? When you went to the movie.
Yeah.
Because you might not see that again for 5 years. If you had missed the opening sequence to Star Wars and missed that, you'd have been like, oh, my God, I can't.
What are you talking about?
I missed what? What's going on? And you would have been, you'd have forever kicked yourself in the ass because you missed the opening sequence of that movie.
That
it was a big deal back then.
That would be tough, yeah.
Now you miss the opening sequence if it is some unbelievable thing.
6 weeks later, it's going to be a friend on your Apple TV.
Right. You can immediately go home, YouTube. What was the ending to blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Find that somebody on their phone recorded it like an asshole.
Yeah, that's jerk.
Anyhow, it used to be a big deal, people.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
All right, here's another one, I think, as far as movies go. You know, like when we look back at old men love Westerns. Let's just face it. They love black and white Westerns.
What the heck is wrong with you?
I don't know, but old men like Westerns. I don't know. They like, and specifically old Westerns. I guess it reminds them of their childhood or just like we have a generational thing. But that's what I'm saying. They're going to look back 100 years from now and they're going to be like, what the hell was up with all these superhero movies?
Yeah.
For the last 10 years. That has been so dominant.
Love it!
There's going to be the superhero movie channel someday. That'll be nothing but superhero stuff. I can see that being a thing.
I can too.
I can see already the superhero channel. Not just movies, the superhero channel. And you rerun, I'm talking you rerun Wonder Woman from TV show, the Spider-Man TV show, all the way through to everything.
Yeah. Cover it all. Kind of like your comment.
Ah, that is a $1 million idea right there.
Yeah. That is. That is a good idea.
Copyright Hillbilly Nerd Talk.
What.com. What in the world is it with dudes and Westerns, too? I think I've talked about this before, but like, I was, for some reason, I must have been like willing to accept weird dates when the movie Unforgiven was in the theater.
God, that's a good movie.
No.
It's the best.
I saw it in the theater 3 times.
Oh, Lord have mercy. It's not 3 times good.
No kidding. It's depressing. I mean, like, guys are just like, oh, I'm picking the movie. And then you're, oh, Jesus. Yeah, and it's a first date, so you're kind of like...
Right, you don't want to foo-foo there.
You don't want to... You want to be okay, you know. It's getting a lot of good press, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, I can't wait for Thor Ragnarok, and we are going to see The Kingsman this week.
Oh, yeah, that'd be
like,
fun.
Like, I am the superhero, the girl that loves the superhero movies, and I got stuck watching that damn Western over and over again.
Well, if you didn't have so many dates, if you weren't so damn hot, you weren't so slutty, having 3 dates in the same week.
I don't know. And that was really, it wasn't in a week. It was like in a month or 2 months.
You just keep backtracking there.
I don't know. That was just a weird time, I guess.
Yep, I hear you.
That was funny.
Guys who send flowers to girls who are on some sort of all girls hangout. Maybe a bunch of girls are going out of town to have a girls weekend out of town or something. You're one of the girls' husbands or boyfriends or somebody sends flowers and chocolates to the hotel room where he knows where you guys are staying. Jerk move or cool move?
I think it really depends on the situation.
Well, that's wishy-washy.
I am inclined to say jerk move.
That was my first instinct.
But I can totally see how some chicks would be like, oh, that's the sweetest thing ever. Now, I would be like, what the fuck, dude? That's a little creepy. But, yeah, I'm.
So you think it just depends upon the guy and the girl?
Yeah, I think there could be some weird.
I don't think the guy should do that just based on what you said. That means the other girls, even if your girl's okay with it, those other girls are going to...
There's at least one of them in the
group.
Well,
he's just marking his spot. He doesn't trust her at all. He's making sure, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
That's my first instinct of what the dude's doing.
Yeah.
Like, it's some kind of weird psychology, like, hey, I know you're out with the girls this weekend, but don't forget, you're married to me at home.
Yeah.
Here's some flowers. Don't forget, I'm a good guy. I'm so insecure. Please don't leave me.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I'm getting out of it, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm
where
saying.
Where did this come from? Because I saw
a Facebook post. Again, this is my randomness sheet. Uh-huh. Here. I saw a Facebook post of somebody, and that was the exact situation. It was somebody who, girls going out of town, and this girl, took a picture of it was a vase of, I think it was like a dozen roses and like 2 or 3 things of chocolate. And it was something like, of course, on Facebook, she was praising him because, of course, he beat her ass when he got home.
Expecting it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it was something like, oh, look,
I think the only
look,
time that
the
would
best
be...
husband in the world. Look what he got us for our girls' weekend out of town. He is so sweet. Please
the only time I could see
home.
That as being okay would be if it was like a bachelorette party and the groom like knew they were staying the reservation and like left like champagne and roses or something like that.
Champagne might have been involved.
Yeah, I think that would be kind of a romantic gesture, but...
Nah. Telling you, I don't trust you.
I really wouldn't either because I'm suspicious like that. But, like, recently I went on a quick girls' night. It wasn't... We are so old. We don't stay out very late. We stay out for 2 glasses of wine. But anyhow, we all met at a local restaurant.
Right.
A buddy of mine, her husband... was lurking in the bar and bought a round of drinks and said hi to everybody. And notice I said lurking in the bar because he never goes there.
He would never go there in a million years.
No. It was 1,000% to check in on her and to piss all over her. I mean, that was beyond marking territory. And she's like, oh, so sweet and so cute. And I think, like, me and another buddy, there's like 3 of us, we're looking at each other going... I made a face.
Pee all over you, not in a golden shower kind of way, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Not in a good way.
Yuck. Oh, don't do that to me ever, please.
Don't pee on you in the shower?
No.
Come on, I bet it's warm.
I bet it is too, but I don't really, like, I'm not.
Nah, I don't care for that either.
It's not my thing.
Yeah, not mine either.
If it was somebody else, I don't even know that I could, I don't know that I could summons that if it was somebody's thing.
I think I could let somebody pee on my leg, I guess, but it just wouldn't do anything for me. Like, okay.
Okay.
But then if you wouldn't be in, if I, you know.
I would laugh. Yeah, I would laugh.
I would like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, it is, yeah, I couldn't fake that.
Yeah, I don't know. I would laugh inappropriately if that was somebody's thing. Thankfully, I've never, yeah.
I hear you. All right, here's another $1 million idea. We already had one. What was the one? Oh, it was the comic book channel.
Good
idea.
Superhero channel.
Yeah, superhero channel. Telling you, that is a damn good idea. There's somebody working on that now.
Yeah.
Here's my other idea, $1 million idea. I want to start a business where basically somebody pays me. Of course, duh, that's a business. They pay me to... Basically, I'll interview you. I'll review your Facebook page, check out a few financial, you know, a little bit of background checking on you, just a little bit. And then we're going to have an interview, and I'm going to tell you whether you're an asshole or not. Whether you need to, I'm going to tell you what areas of your life you're just totally sucking at, what you're doing wrong, and where you need to get your shit together at. You know, it'll be like, all right, in the romance department, you know, your chick looks pretty hot. You're doing good there. But, you know, this other part, you know, financially, you're a damn mess. You're a total fuck up that needs to get, you got to get that up. And just do a little, you know, like a 5 or 6 point presentation on how much you suck, basically. Basically, whether you suck or not. Are you an asshole, dumbass, or not?
Hank would like for you to pay him to be a judgmental dickhead.
Yes. Go with your strengths. You're supposed to start a business based on what you have a passion for. So there you go.
I'm just nodding my head here.
People
need feedback, but
an honest opinion. How often do you honestly, and dead serious now, how often does somebody truly... an external, purely objective source look at your situation and tell you really how you're doing? It'd be nice if we had a friend that does that, but even friends can't.
Friends can't. No, a friend by definition wouldn't tell you that.
They might try to ease around. I'm talking, this is like in your face. Like, look, you have a negative net worth. Do you understand that? Do you understand that when you add up all your stuff, your net worth is negative $40,000. Do you understand what a fuck up you are because you're 40 years old and you don't have a net worth that's a positive number? Like, you need somebody to tell you that shit once in a while to shake your ass.
That is totally a first world problem.
That's definitely a first world problem. Well, I think it's a good idea.
I'm laughing at you.
Okay. I left you this weekend to take a guy's trip out of town.
You did.
Put that in your little notes there. The old road trip. Hank's road trip.
That was pretty funny. And it was kind of like a last minute, like, just jump on board and do it.
Yeah, three guys, just, three other guys, four of us. It's kind of like the Hangover. It's kind of fun.
It was. I was like, I just really hope that y'all don't get arrested for, like, underage strippers or something crazy like that. Like, that's...
Yeah, I didn't get into that kind of trouble.
Yep.
Bunch of 47, 48-year-old men just getting out of town. But it's fun. But it is fun getting four or five guys out of town. Us guys bond and give each other such hell differently than you girls that it's so funny. You know?
How so? Because these were the same guys that they came over on Friday, and this is how the trip came up, and you left Saturday morning.
Yeah, these are all buddies. Well, like Joey's driving, for example, and Ronnie's in the back. And somehow, as Joey's driving, Ronnie says something like... I think there's an exit up here you need to take. Here we fucking go. Really? You're going to be a backseat driver, you fucking asshole, the whole time? Really? You know, like in a funny way. Like I'm saying it even, it sounds kind of mean, but it's very funny. Give each other hell, you know.
These guys, like two of them Are they related?
No, just friends.
Just been friends their entire lives.
And then there's, you know, somebody in the front seat. If you see an exit up here, we need to stop and pee somewhere. Ah, here we fucking go. Really? Hamster bladder? We have to pee 10 times on the way down here?
So did y'all just like swap just every, shit?
Like
you just swap shit the yeah. whole way down?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that is most chicks. That's our idea of a hell trip.
Yeah, no, ours is great.
like we would get out and probably have a hair pulling, clothes ripping fight if somebody did that on a trip.
No, it was totally great. I mean, you're talking about, you know, I mean, just all kinds of things. As soon as somebody go in the bathroom, you better be shitting in there. You know, just some kind of, this is our hotel room. You got to shit downstairs, jackass. You know, just something like beating on the door. Just bullshit like that the whole time. Yeah, it was fun. I mean, it sounds awful, I guess you're right.
It does. It sounds like one of the levels of hell, at least.
Well, I thought it was pretty fun. I'll give you some highlights. We basically went to a lake. Here in Kentucky, all of our state lakes, there's no private property that can be owned that touches a state lake. That's a state park, which basically makes all of our lakes, really. So to have a lake where you can actually buy a house, you know, on a giant lake, not a man-made lake.
Yeah.
On a big lake with boats and all that stuff, you got to go to like Tennessee or West Virginia. You got to get out of the state, basically. So that's what this was. Joey's thinking about buying a condo on a lake in Tennessee. So we were making a road trip down to hang out at this lake for a day and pick him out a condo, basically. Yeah. So, you know, and here's a weird part of this thing. One of the guys going with us is an alcoholic. He just is.
I mean, yeah,
he's a functional alcoholic. This dude, in one day, this is no exaggeration. On Saturday when we went down there. And all this is between, because we didn't get on the lake till probably about 1 o'clock. So we're talking from 1 o'clock in the afternoon till about midnight. About a fifth of vodka.
Okay.
5 or 6 minimum. He brought these little small bottles of Fireball that's 60 proof. It's 35% alcohol. It's just whiskey with cinnamon in it, basically.
Yeah.
At least 5 or 6 of those, minimum.
So airplane bottle, yeah.
Bigger than an airplane bottle, but not much. 5 or 6 of those, probably 4 or 5 beers.
Wow.
4 or 5 beers, fifth of vodka, and 5 or 6. These would be equivalent of 2 shots per bottle. So that'd be 12 shots of
that's a lot of booze.
Yeah, think. So you feel bad. Like, you know, almost like the dilemma with the jerk guy. Like, do you hang out with this guy? And except this is a little different, but do you hang out with this guy who's an alcoholic and you're in a weird way contributing to this because he's the fun guy? Everybody's going on this to drink some.
Yeah.
So do you bring the alcoholic to your drink fest? We did.
Yeah, you'd have to. You'd have to.
This guy.
It's weird. It is weird.
Well, this guy, and he likes his reputation of being. He would be the Galifianakis character from The Hangover.
Yeah, he would be.
Like the goofy guy. He wants to do something that's going to make a story. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's trying,
and it's almost a little too much in a way. Like, he's looking too much to do something, an opportunity to do something insane that everybody will talk about for years, so he'll be legendary on this trip. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a desperation.
So what he decided to do for this trip, while we're on this boat, it's on a pontoon boat, and it's going wide open, probably 35 miles an hour. Randomly, I don't know if he took all of his clothes off. He took his clothes off to his underwear, runs down the middle of the boat and jumps off the front of the boat while it's full throttle moving. He was driving. He was driving the boat, like, you know, driving.
Uh-huh.
And then he strips down his underwear and leaves the steering wheel and runs down the middle of the boat and jumps off the front of the boat. Which, if you drive a boat, it would be very easy for that wheel to have turned when he let go of the wheel and did this.
Uh-huh.
And just fucking chopped him right the hell up. It didn't. And he survived. But that's one of those things. I'm like, after it happened, I'm like, you know, this really isn't fucking funny.
No. It's not.
And later, everybody else sort of did too. But, you know, in the moment, you're like, oh,
you're laughing your butt off.
We got splashed. Oh, that's crazy that Charlie did that. Blah, blah, blah. That Charlie could have just
been dead.
Yeah.
Or
he could have. If you get a propeller on a 75, 80 horsepower motor hitting you, yes, you definitely
could. It chops up manatees, so it would chop you up.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. See, I'm appalled and saddened by this because...
It's kind of weird, right?
Yeah. And his need for approval and validation is painful. It hurts to be around.
You know, alcoholics, they're fun to be around most of the time when they're drinking, you know, in a certain situation.
Yeah.
But again, you're kind of contributing to it. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know how to handle. We have another friend
happy
that's an alcoholic.
Alcoholics are, but you know, miserable, belligerent, mean alcoholics.
Oh, I know. Well, you're right. I don't mean that all alcoholics are happy. Don't get me wrong. But I don't. It just seems like in our life, the alcoholics that we know are kind of fun-loving people. And so we're kind of torn. Like, do we invite them when we have some people over for drinks? Because it may end up that they just stay way too long. And
he stayed on the couch before. Come on.
Yeah.
So, which if we have a couch, we have space for that.
Man, I want him to get better. I just don't. God, it's tough, right?
Yeah, it is. When you want to fix people.
I was asking the other two people in this group. That's Charlie. I was asking Joey and Ronnie, like, have you guys ever, like, talked to him, had a sort of intervention, kind of a whatever? And they both basically said he knows what his demons are. Like, we basically have, in a weird way, not a direct way, like I was saying my business would be, like, just in a weird way, like, and he'll just say, yeah, I know what my demons are. And that's how he says it. So that's weird.
It is, and I'm not diagnosing him, but there's something wrong with him. Like, there's something,
you know,
very
it's
broken in him.
People just, I don't know, they just sabotage themselves. Maybe you can't help it, but people that are 47-year-old functional alcoholics, basically starting over in life, you know.
But I've noticed this. Golly, in the last year, but especially since my dad died, and I've been reading umpteen zillion psychology books, and like, I just have looked around more in the last few months at people and really seen what all they're struggling with. You know, I've got a very good friend that... She's a wonderful person, but she's desperate for attention. And yeah, our group of friends, we give her a lot of that. Like, she will never fix the problems in her life because they bring her attention. I've got another friend who's like your buddy Charlie, that's kind of a functional alcoholic, goes home every night and drinks an entire bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Just to live with her life. Yeah.
We're all just fucked up.
Yeah.
Aren't we? In some way, every single person walking around here, we're all fucked up. Just doing the best we can.
I've been really self-examining so hard, and I feel bad. My shrink, he's Steve. Love Steve. He's just like, no, you do not have a personality disorder, because I go in swearing that I have a new one every 2 weeks now.
That's your thing?
That's my thing. And he's like, no, you've been coming for 5 years. You don't have a personality disorder.
Wow. Well, anyway, I mean, Charlie was fun to have around, and it was a great time, but those are a few little weird things that happened.
Yeah.
That kind of, in the moment, I'm like, yeah, this is fun, but Yeah.
Damn, this like guy could have died.
I feel like I'm being an enabler in a way.
Yeah.
It was a little bit of a downer for a little short period of time.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I've got a frog in my throat. These guys don't boat very often. They didn't know how to do anything, frankly.
were you in charge of all of
it? Yes. They thought I was like a god because I knew how to tie a basic boating knot to anchor a boat. I knew how to steer and throttle and like the propeller and all the whole, yeah. So they've got this map of this lake. This is Lake Norris in Tennessee. It's a gigantic lake. I mean, it is gigantic. They give you a map at the marina. And this map, you've been on lakes. They're deceptive. When you go from point A to point B on a map, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm just going over here. It's like another, it's just 4 or 5 inches over there. On a boat, that's fucking hours, right?
Yes, it can't be.
On a big lake, that's hours. So Joey figures out this place he's heard. It's like a boat dock. There's several marinas. There's 7 or 8 marinas on this lake. It's
That's
so big.
That's a huge lake, yeah.
And a good 30, 40 minutes between marinas, easy, on a boat.
Wow.
That's how big this place is.
Yeah, it's a big boat.
One of these marinas has a bar, restaurant type situation. So we're going to that marina called like Stardust, the Stardust Marina. That's our destination. I mean, it's like a mecca. Like, we have to go to Stardust.
All right, it's like the hangover. This is the hangover.
It's the greatest thing ever. We got to go there. So that's where we take off to. Well, 3 hours later, we make it to this damn marina.
You realize that you got 3 hours back, too, don't you?
Oh, they don't fucking know. They don't realize. I'm a drunk. Amateur drunks, professional drunks, and me. That's what I, who's a, you know, I drink a little bit, but we're all, yeah. So,
you get there,
the time you get to this place, it's probably 4 o'clock, 4:30. You eat, it's 5:30. We're supposed to have this boat back by 7:30. I'm like, you guys know there's no way in hell unless, you know, we teleport that we're not getting this boat back by 7:30, right? Oh, we'll make it. Ah, no big deal, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's dark, like 8 o'clock, and we're not even close. And then, because we're so far away, I hear Charlie, you know, I don't think we have a lot of gas left in this thing. I look, it's fucking empty. I mean, this thing is below empty. And we're an hour, or at least 30, 40 minutes away from this place. It's 8 o'clock at night. We're going to get stuck out here on the middle of this lake.
At night.
At night, in the middle of damn nowhere.
Did you even have cell phone?
No, no cell phone service. We've just been fucked. So, then, now, Ronnie and Joey start getting panicked, and it becomes kind of a running joke, you know, just like we're talking about, you know, good job, jackass. Here we go. We're about to swim fucking back. You better be able to swim, you fat orca fuck. You know, that kind of thing. And I think at one point it was like, yeah, we can just get on Ronnie's back and maybe he can just hump us back as long as he comes up for air once in a while. You know, that kind of bullshit.
Oh my god.
So we just throttle down and keep going and just hope. Yeah, just hope we make it. And somehow, I don't know if the gauge was off.
You know what?
But we did make it.
If I were renting boats to idiots, I would put the E at half tank.
Well, he didn't do that. And as we came in, the dude was waiting on us. It was like 8:30 at night. We're supposed to have it back 7:30. It may have been 9 o'clock. I don't know. Anyway.
I hope he charged extra.
You know, you got to fill it back up. So when he fills it back up, we know how much is left. And he's like, my goodness, you guys are out there a long time. Where'd you guys go? And you're like, well, we went out to Stardust Marina and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, Stardust? How'd you get there and back? And he's like, we just barely made it. And he's like, that's like 3 hours away. And they're like, yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy? And he's like, well, where'd you get gas at on the way back? He's like, we didn't get any gas. And he's like, how did you make it to there and back? And he's like, and the dude's like, let me check this. He opens the thing, and there's no gas in it. I'm telling you.
It was like ghost running.
Yes. It must have been the last molecules of of gas was in the boat as it came in. Because I'm telling you, it was dry. That canister, the canisters of gas that we had were absolutely dry. And the guy's like, I would never in a million years thought you could make it to Stardust Marina and back on this much. He's like, well, we did it. High five, you know, everybody just like no giving a shit, just no shits given whatsoever.
Oh my God. So here you are like, that was a near death experience.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm almost out here with these jerks or all night or whatever. Somebody would have tried to pull us in. I don't know. I was just long for the ride. So it's fun, but nothing really. So Charlie didn't get chopped up by the boater and we made it
back. Honestly, Hank, I think that does you some good every now and then.
Oh, I'm sure.
You came back so much more relaxed, and you really did handle a whole lot today. So,
oh yeah, okay. You know, it was fine, and then the last part of it of this trip, as we came back to the hotel at about 10 or 11 o'clock, we got finally back to the hotel. The UK game was on, and I told you UK Florida University of Kentucky in football, they've sucked forever. Well, the Chicago Cubs actually won a World Series last year. But besides that, we're the Chicago Cubs of college football. We're just lovable losers. We'll find a way to fuck up any lead.
Yeah.
We pack a stadium just like Chicago. It doesn't matter if Chicago wins ever. That the stadium's filled.
Yeah.
We sell luxury boxes. We have a 60,000 seat facility plus luxury boxes that is packed for every game. We haven't beat Florida literally in 30 years. It was like 1987. They had all that stuff on the screen as it was going on of, you know, all the years that we had leads in the fourth quarter and how we fucked it up. All that was on.
Yeah.
Well, this game, we're up by 13 points with 8 minutes left in the game. 13 points with 8 minutes left, and we have the ball, and we lost.
How?
I'm telling you, it was great.
You know what?
It was
honestly
great with these guys.
No. Because we were talking about this before you went on this trip.
I know
we went to a Cheddar somewhere, and it was a UK game watch, and it was Florida, and they were up, like, at the half. And I mean, it was like everybody was losing their minds, and then they lost.
I'm telling you, it gets in their head. They literally choked. It was painful to watch. And I'm glad those guys were there. And I was telling them, I'm like, now you see what it's like being a UK fan. Like these guys will break your heart. They will find a way. They basically, there's so many things they did to choke. It's not even funny. But a few of the main ones towards the end of the game. You know what a shotgun formation is? Basically, it's where the quarterback, instead of getting the ball straight from the center, he steps back a few steps and the center hikes it to him.
Okay.
It'd be like you hiking a ball to me now with a distance between us.
Yeah.
It's routine. They do it all the time. Our guy hikes it over our quarterback's head by about 10 yards. Like just total panic. Like just nervous. Like he's done that the whole game, his whole life. He snapped that ball a billion times.
Yeah.
Just from me to you. And then this time, instead of me to you, it goes all the way
across. Yeah.
That was one. Then there was just people that were just missing tackles. There was one time at the very end of the game, we got a holding call that brought us back out of field goal range. It was just incredible.
How in the world?
Incredible
okay.
Watch.
It's like a curse or something because these guys can't be there for more than 4 years.
I know.
So it can't be that they've lost the same people have been losing for 30 years. It's not.
Here's another one. At the end, this is one we're down by 13. Florida's getting ready. Florida's driving. They're on like the 5-yard line. We call timeout to get things set up because, you know, this is important. We got to stop them here. We go back on the field, and instead of having 11 defensive players, somebody forgot to go out on the field and we only had 10. So one guy was wide open and they just hiked the ball and just threw the ball to him. Like literally nobody within 20 yards of that guy. Because he forgot to go out. Because somebody forgot to go out on the damn field.
Oh, my God. So, yeah.
I mean, it's,
so
it's insane.
So they can't even be, like, the whole team can't be mad at one person.
Oh, no, it's all of them. No, they're collectively. So I'm glad the boys got to.
To witness
that, for sure. Let's see. What else happened here? I'll tell you day two. That was day one.
Wow.
Let me tell you a little bit about day two. Charlie, the alcoholic, has a friend who he used to buddy around with in Lexington, who now has a boat or has a house on a different lake. So we're going to this different lake to check it out, scope it out.
Okay.
All right. So this guy, his name was Vince. We go to Vince's house, and he has an awesome house. It's on the lake, and it is on the lake. You know,
boom, yeah,
boom,
walk right out, nice
place. We come in, and this guy talks nonstop. I mean, it's one of those. Oh, that's enough. That's enough talking about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think about me? That kind of situation, constantly. As soon as we walk in, first thing he's like, "Hey, you know, guys, we used to do this and do this. Oh, by the way, there's a couple of dogs want to come up. I wouldn't get your hands too close to them, you know. And he just keeps talking, and we're like, well, all right. These two little chihuahuas come up that are just the friendliest little guys, just like jumping on your leg. Like, what? You think these guys are going to bite or hurt somebody? Like, they're the friendliest little guys ever. They were great.
So you pick them both up?
Oh, of course. We wallow all of them. He couldn't help it.
Yeah. Okay. So was he joking?
No, I don't think so. I really, truly don't think he was joking because he was dead. He was dead serious. He's like, I don't know how these dogs are going to react. So, I'd be careful. Keep my hands away from them. So he said, no, he seemed serious, dead serious.
That's weird.
Well, that set the tone. So I'm like, this is going to be some kind of a weird trip. Because he thinks his dogs are vicious and they're not. So this is going to be some kind of a head trip. So he's got a boat docked somewhere very close to his house. We get down this boat and we take our trawler down. This guy, it was like us four guys throwing a life preserver to this guy to get out of his house for a while. He had two kids and a wife.
Okay.
They were in the house and they showed us around the house, blah, blah, blah. And then we had to drive about a mile to his boat, which is docked somewhere else. He had a boat docked in front of his house, but he had his boat out in a different one. Okay. Anyhow, we go out there, and here's another, like, little thing. He's like, we're like, are you allowed to drink on this lake? Because, you know, what's the deal? And he's like, well, just keep it. He said, as long as you just keep it in a cozy or something where they can't see it, and just don't, you know, wave it around in front of everybody. You know, they don't care. First thing, he gets a beer and just starts sucking it down while he's driving, just holding it out the side of the boat. Right, dude, you just fucking told us
to do that.
And yeah. Here we go. I'm like, well, here we go. It's fucking on. I can tell that.
Yeah.
This guy he pounds beer after beer. That's
why he's Charlie's friend.
Yes. He downed three or four of those little, it's bigger
fireballs.
Than, yeah. It's bigger than the airplane thing, but it's the same concept.
Yeah.
It's basically equal to two airplane things. It's two shots per plastic bottle.
Yeah.
This guy does three or four of those. He drinks 5 or 10 beers in the span of about 3 hours or maybe two.
Yeah.
While we're out there, he's cruising us around, just drinking as fast as he can drink, telling the stories after story, like nonstop. Like, dude.
Just never shuts up.
Right. And it was fun to a point. I mean, he's a good guy. He loved us. That's what I'm saying. He thought we were the funniest bunch of dudes.
Because you were laughing at his jokes.
Well, and we were just getting him out of his life for a minute, I think. Getting him away from the kids and the wife.
How old were the kids?
14 and like 8. And he had a soccer game he was supposed to go to. And He got out of it. He was supposed to go like he was going to go to the 4 o'clock game, but there was also a 2 o'clock game. And he missed the 2 o'clock game, And even on the boat dock on the way back, he had a phone call, and he's like, I told you I was going to miss the 2 o'clock game, but I'd be there for the 4 o'clock game. You could hear his wife on the phone just giving him hell. And, you know, it was just funny. So that was that dude.
That makes me feel bad.
And listen to this dude has a degree in mechanical engineering and worked for IBM in Lexington as a mechanical engineer. Uh-huh. Did that for like 10 or 15 years. And then quit that. And now he's a used car salesman.
Is he happier as a used car salesman?
He talks nonstop. He's pretty good at it, I guess. Just salesman.
Okay. I mean, I can't.
Sometimes salesmen talk too much, though. I know.
Oh, yeah, they do.
But now this guy's some kind of a broker. Like I say, a used car dealer. Like he goes to auctions and buys cars and brokers them to people. Like I think you give him a list. Like, dude, if you see a Corvette 90 model Corvette, I'm willing to pay this.
Yeah.
And then he bids on it and then somehow brokers for him. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
That's kind of weird, but.
Dude, he seemed like he was making a fortune.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. So, I'm trying to think of my notes here. Yeah, his kid plays baseball. He's one of those dads. His kids are going to be the next LeBron James, and his daughter's going to be on the Olympic soccer team. And, you know, he's one of those dads, too.
Do all parents fall into that?
I don't know. At one point, Charlie joking around, just like, you know, people giving shit. He's like, you do know you're white, right? He's like, your kids are white, right? And he's like, ah, you know, just.
Yeah.
And then way more serious, too.
Yeah, like, you're like.
Your
kid's not that good. Your kid's not that good.
Yeah, you got little white Caucasian kids running around. Don't get too excited there, jackass. It's not gonna pan out. Right? He liked us so much. He was saying on the way out, he's like, you know, you guys ought to come back down for Keeneland this time. He's like, you know, my wife and kids, they've been kind of wanting out anyway. They can just stay the night at grandma's and we'll just have the whole house and we can just come down and we'll party all day and then we'll go to Keeneland and I've got a guy, he's going to reserve the equestrian room and this and that. And we're like, and, you know, we're driving back. We're like, that dude loved us so much. He's going to kick his family out of his house for a weekend so we can come back and party in a month.
Well, I'm laughing because, you know, I kind of know these guys loosely from visiting here and stuff. Like, Charlie really does talk about partying. Like, a 15-year-old would talk about partying. Like, he gets that excited about it.
He does get excited about it.
And it's still, like, that forbidden.
Yeah.
It's weird. And it's like, no, we're grown-ups. We can party anytime we want to.
Well, but that's part of what makes it fun is pretending like. And even with this guy, I was going to say, this was a fun little, it wasn't an on-purpose game that we were playing, but it ended up working out like this because of all four of us.
Uh-huh.
Like, something like this would happen, and the whole way back to Lexington or for next hour or two, we would slowly build this crazy story, this fictional story of what happened. Like, it would start off with Charlie, like, oh, yeah, yeah, Vince is in trouble with his wife for sure. We definitely got him in trouble with his wife. And then Ronnie would be like, oh, yeah, she's totally right now just giving him shit about missing that damn soccer game and blah, blah, blah. You know, then Joy will chime in like, oh, yeah, that dude, he's not getting laid for fucking ever. And this guy's, you know, and then I chime in like.
Adding details to how.
Yeah, and then I might chime in, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, she's like, well, those fucking assholes are never coming back to this place. And he's just, you listen to me. If you think you're letting those guys come back here and we're coming to get, and we're going to go to my mom's house for the weekend, you can just fucking forget it. And, you know, and before you know it, we're just laughing about this crazy
story that you've made
that we
up.
Totally made up.
Yeah. She may be like, oh, thank God, assholes out of the house for a few hours.
Exactly.
No, not really.
But we're like, no, he's definitely in trouble for missing that soccer game.
Probably. I don't understand that. I walk around the park and there's kids playing soccer all the time.
Yeah, and they're awful.
They're horrible.
Yeah, they're just terrible.
Well, we.
Except for, and this is, I don't, this is the truth, except for the two or three Mexican kids out there.
Well, all right, like, I know why. Because I walk all the time. Those little kids are playing with the adults.
Yeah.
When the adults are out there playing.
So they're just texting more.
And they're either older siblings or parents are out there training with them when none of the other kids are around.
Ah, so they're getting a little extra.
So they get a lot more.
Well, that makes sense.
It does, but I mean, it's no wonder. Like, there'll be like one kid that's just bouncing the ball all over the place and kicking everybody else's butt. And yeah, it's like, oh yeah.
Yeah, exactly. you know that, yeah, exactly. You know that kid's not supporting Trump.
No, definitely not.
He's definitely not a Trump supporting family for sure.
No.
Tell everybody where they can get a hold of us.
HillbillyNerdTalk.com.
We always say this for the end. We ought to start doing this in the middle sooner or later, but, you know, we're just too dumb to do it.
This was kind of a rambling podcast anyhow. We were wiped out.
Well, you know, it's been a while. You've been out of town, and we just get so busy, and I don't know. It's hard to do this every week at this point.
It really is right now, but we'll get better.
We're saving up material, though.
This is all Hank's ramblings tonight. Find us at hillbillynerdtalk.com. You can find Hank's Twitter,
Facebook.
And the Facebook for the show, and my Pinterest boards, my goofiness.
Yeah, get a hold of Petra on Pinterest, me on Twitter, and boom.
Yeah. All right, everybody, have a fantastic evening, and we'll talk at you again next week.